Ad-free shows fans, it's time for a very special audio edition of One-on-One with John Alba here on adfreeshows.com. Don't forget you subscribe to ad-free shows and you get exclusive access, early access, especially to programs like this, Up for Debate, and all your favorite Conrad Thompson podcasts. I, of course, am John Alba, and I'm joined by a very, very special guest, one of my favorite pro wrestlers in the world, quite frankly, and that is Switchblade, Jay White. How are you, my friend? How are things going?
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you. Just getting gearing up for a weekend of Impact in Philly and then capping it off with my USAJ Open Challenge against Chris Sabin on Sunday in St. Pete.
Yeah, that's a busy weekend right there. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But you mentioned you're on the East Coast right now. I know when you came over to the U.S., you kind of settled in that Jersey Northeast area, didn't you?
Very briefly, that was for about 3 weeks, and when I would be traveling kind of back and forth between the States and England, I would often fly to and from New York, so I would kind of be set up there for a night at a time before then maybe going down to Michigan where I was living.
Gotcha.
A little bit after I went to New Jersey, I then ended up in Michigan.
Gotcha. So I was going to say some very early wrestling roots in that general area you mentioned.
Brief and early, but they're still there.
Yeah, well, and there's so much talent that has come out of that area that has certainly been part of your path, and I think your path is really interesting because this weekend with the US of J Challenge, you're going against a guy who I imagine that when you were, because you and I are around the same age, when you're growing up in the early to mid-2000s and seeing what's hot in wrestling, the Motor City Machine Guns, Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, these are some of the hottest acts in the world. And you've got the US of J Open Challenge, Strong Style Evolved in Tampa on the 20th. That's against Chris Sabin. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, to be honest, growing up when I started watching it in New Zealand, TNA didn't really have too much of a presence. So I didn't really know about guys like Motor City Machine Guns until I really started looking into training again and watching wrestling, which was, we'll say, around 2011 or 12, maybe.
Oh, okay.
And I started training in 2013. So, you know, I feel like I made up for it with the time that I spent with the Motor City Machine Guns on the road and ROH and training with them, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, both those guys. You know, I've got a storied history with Alex Shelley. We've touched on that a bunch recently, especially leading up to the match where I beat him at Sacrifice a couple of weeks ago. But Chris Sabin, it's kind of the same story. Not quite as close of a personal relationship, but plenty of time in the ring together training alongside each other at Ring of Honor. And now, you know, I get to do the same thing to him that I did to his partner.
Yeah, and I love that match that you mentioned with Shelley. I thought that was one of my favorites that I've seen so far here in the U.S. this year. But I want to talk a little bit about teaming with the Motor City Machine Guns. You're talking 2016 or so in Ring of Honor. That's when Ring of Honor was really starting to catch a lot of fire once again here in the U.S. I'd love to hear more about teaming with that tag team because Shelley and Sabin, as I said before, they're kind of legends here for a very secular part of the American wrestling audience. What kind of memories do you have of training and working with those guys?
Yeah, they really have touched a generation. I know Alex Shelley kind of said that line to me at Impact, but there is truth to what he says, and it applies to both of those guys in terms of the impact that they've had on the wrestling industry and any wrestlers coming up. I think I said this somewhere else recently. I always knew that that had a big impact on people, but I didn't realize it until I moved on from team with him in Ring of Honor and traveled a bit more and been around a bit more since then that I truly realized how many people's careers had either been inspired or affected by those two with the innovation and being able to team with them in ROH. It obviously gave me a great advantage that I've been able to use to, you know, for my benefit over the years.
When you see a guy like Chris Sabin, 40 years old, still being able to go at the work rate that he does, and not that 40 is old anymore in wrestling, so many people are wrestling far beyond that, but at the level and the caliber that he's still able to perform at, how do you look towards that in terms of your future and modeling how you can pave your path?
I mean, you can say it's impressive for 40, but really in wrestling, it doesn't really matter. You're not in different age categories or age groups and get classed as impressive based on that. It's either impressive or it's not. And to me, Chris Sabin isn't impressive anymore. And that's basically what I'm out to prove on Sunday. And how it pertains to myself once I get up there, well, hell, I may not even be wrestling by the time I reach 40. But if I am, myself and Chris Sabin are very different styles. He's a lot more, I would say, fast and quick paced around the ring, whereas I'm a bit more calculated and take my time. So if you're looking at longevity of guys' careers and you're looking to compare that 10 years down the track, I would say that my style of wrestling is going to, if I choose to, would allow me to have as long a career as I'd like, I guess.
No, I agree with that entirely. I think you're very nuanced in the ring and your style lends itself to more longevity. Even with the hard-hitting nature of New Japan, as you've kind of thrust yourself into the limelight here, you're one of the most recognizable names in all of pro wrestling. How have you felt your style that we've been talking about here changing with that?
It's just kind of adapting to what's in front of me, and you're going to get very different styles when I'm over here against guys like Eric Young and Alex Shelley compared to being over in Japan against guys like Tanahashi or Ibushi and whoever it is. So you kind of have to take it as it comes, and luckily I'm very adaptable and quick thinking on my feet to where, you know, I can kind of use each guy's strength against them. But whether it's America or Japan and different styles, it's kind of, at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter who I'm in there with. I can very much tell that I'm going to have the intellectual edge. And once I realize I have that, it all ends up being the same result, even if it is different styles.
I'd love to talk more about New Japan Strong. New Japan really, really, really was hitting this massive stride with its crossover into the American audience right before the pandemic. And then naturally the borders are cut off and there's this massive momentum just also put to a halt. New Japan Strong comes along and starts giving that strong style of wrestling a little bit of a platform in the U.S. What do you think so far of the efforts of the organization? And what do you think New Japan Strong can be as the pro wrestling sphere starts to get turning once again?
I've said this a bunch. I think New Japan Strong can definitely be the main attraction to New Japan Pro Wrestling compared to, rather than it being what's happening in Japan, being the main attraction. With guys like myself there, we've been, you know, making a statement for that. I think anybody that's been coming to those shows has kind of seen that for themselves, and anybody watching them agrees as well. It was with the pandemic and stuff, people, you had to adapt, and New Japan didn't really do that the best over there. So we kind of, you know, put our feet in the ground here and said, no, there's opportunity here for Strong and something I believe in. So it's been something we've been putting, you know, but a little bit extra time into, but just trying to show the value that we have in guys like myself and the other guys here at Strong. I think it can keep going with the momentum we have. And like I said, it can be the main attraction.
Why is it something that you believe in so strongly?
I think it helps that it's being done in front of a crowd that is allowed to make noise, for one. That's going to give it a big advantage over its, you know, if you were to say that what's going on in Japan is competition, it's always going to be a benefit to have a wrestling in front of a live crowd that can make audible noise. How that isn't a thing in Japan still absolutely blows my mind, but we're not going to get into idiotic rules these days. So I think that for one. And then also you have these guys that are a lot newer and they're a lot hungrier. They're all trying to get these spots, trying to get these opportunities, as opposed to some guys who get very comfortable just being in their slot, knowing that they have, you know, security of their job there, or thinking they at least have security of their job there. So they get complacent and a little bit comfortable. Whereas the guys who have a strong, they're constantly looking to prove themselves.
I would like to ask, though, real quick about that, what you just mentioned with the Japanese audiences not being able to cheer and react necessarily. How difficult is that as a performer when there's an environment like that? How does that compare to wrestling in front of an empty arena? Because I imagine that there has to be some sort of a psychological thing where you see fans and you know they can't react versus when you're just performing in front of an empty gym, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take fans with no noise over no fans at all.
Yeah.
But for me, when I'm out there wrestling, it's almost doesn't make a difference. If anything, it can sometimes make it easier because my opponent doesn't really have the crowd to get behind them, seeing as that's what they rely on so heavily. So either way, I'm able to adapt, and then we can either block out the fact that there is or isn't noise. But I can see from it in terms of a business standpoint, when you're talking about things like differences between strong and everything, from a business standpoint, it just makes no sense to me. And I don't know, out of all the things happening, how that rule is still in place. It blows my mind.
Talking to Jay White here on One-on-One with John Alba on ad-free shows and adfreeshows.com. Also, don't forget to check out AFS on YouTube as well. Jay, you're working everywhere right now, and it's one of those really interesting times in pro wrestling where anyone can show up anywhere, and you're kind of one of those guys leading the charge on that. Do you wear that as a badge of honor?
Yeah, because not many people can do that. So I guess it's a testament to who you are if you're able to kind of throw your weight around a little bit and show up where you want, when you want, and there really be no problem from the powers that be at those places. Whereas some other guys may try and they would get, maybe turned away at the door. But luckily for myself, it's due to everything I've done, but that's not the case for myself, obviously.
What are you trying to accomplish with that?
I've been saying it a couple of times now, you know, I think there's a rejuvenated Bullet Club and a chance for a renewed and, rejuvenated Bullet Club across Impact, AEW, and Bullet Club. You know, I've got rid of the problem in Tama Tonga. So, hey, there's no reason why old friends can't unite. You know, I have no personal issues with guys like the Young Bucks. And I don't think they have any deep personal issues with me, even though they may be a little bit wary. So I don't see why not. The guy that had problems with everybody is gone now. That was Tama. He had problems with Kenny. You know, he seemed to have problems with me. He was trying to create problems with Evil. And hey, Evil's someone I'll still maybe address at a later date. But for now, you know, the dark cloud of Bullet Club is gone. So why can't we have some sort of elite Bullet Club over Impact, AEW, and New Japan?
Bullet Club is and has been an institution in pro wrestling for the last decade, and it's gone through so many different iterations. Why is a unit led by Jay White the top of the tier Bullet Club that we've seen so far?
I think because if you look at my resume and just the caliber of the things I've done, that you kind of nobody, if you look at all the guys before me in terms of right guys leading Bullet Club, yeah, they're all impressive, but I think you can make the argument that none of them did what I did in such a short amount of time. I'm not even 30 yet. Won every major belt in and every major singles belt in New Japan Pro Wrestling, the first ever Grand Slam champion. So if there's somebody that's going to be able to, you know, make Bullet Club into what it could be, it's going to be me.
What would a cross-promotion Bullet Club do? Like, obviously, there's already some integration cross-promotion, but, like, including AEW especially, the number two promotion in the United States, one of the hottest promotions in the world, what would that do for the legacy of a unit like Bullet Club?
I would just further, grow it, expand it, and cement it, basically. You always got to be innovating, and like I said, I've said it a whole bunch in this interview already about adapting to be able to last, and doing something like that, I think would very much help Bullet Club last even longer at the top.
I think it's pretty clear from talking to you that legacy and how you're viewed is something that's pretty important to you. You just talked a lot about letting your style of work and your caliber of work speak for itself. So doing this run in Impact and getting this chance to show up in AEW, what do you believe that does for Jay White 5-10 years from now when people look back on what you've accomplished?
I'm not sure what it would have done for me, but I think the way people look at it is like it always is interesting. People never appreciate what they're looking at until it's you know, it's gone or it's too late. I think people will look back and then they'll appreciate how they should really my time and spending it and impacting, because you never know how long or short it's going to be. There could be, hey, I could want to go back to Japan in the next week, or I may not want to go back to Impact. So I think people will look back on it fonder than they look at it at the moment, because people don't appreciate things until they're gone.
It's been really fun looking at the relationship that's been cultivating between New Japan and AEW in particular. We've seen some significant names show up across both of these brands, yourself being one of them, Suzuki as well. It's been really, really exciting. Tomohiro Ishii has popped up. What do you think that relationship between those two promotions in particular can become, and what role can you play in that?
I think you can just keep people guessing when it comes to wrestling, which can be a very hard thing to do these days because people seem to want to ruin their surprises for themselves, which again blows my mind why you'd want to ruin the thing that you're meant to love. But I think by having that, this just leaves, I hate using that term forbidden door, but it does leave the door open to anybody showing up at any time. And I think that's it's a pretty valuable aspect of wrestling, is having the potential for those surprises. So when you have the potential for guys from AEW to show up in New Japan and vice versa, you really do never know what's going to happen and what role I can play on that. Just being, I think being an English speaking person kind of gives me some sort of role, being able to, being a New Japan guy that is speaks English. It kind of gives me a role, seeing as I can then talk to the AEW audience and maybe advocate for New Japan in whatever way I see fit, as opposed to somebody like a Taguchi coming over and not knowing what the fuck he's meant to say to anybody. So that gives me an advantage, and hey, my whole resume gives me an advantage and a reason for me to be the guy doing what I'm doing.
What'd you make of your AEW experience so far?
I think it was a success. Showed up, beat Beretta, and so basically I'm 1-0 there. There's not really much more you could want from that. And I'll maybe if the Young Bucks need a hand with something, or Adam Cole needs a hand with something, maybe who knows, maybe I'll show up there this week, maybe I won't.
Anybody in particular in that organization you'd really like to work with?
I'm trying to work with the Young Bucks at the moment. I'm just trying to win them over. This is a little bit wary if you're asking about if there's anybody I want to face in the ring. If there's anybody I want to face, no, I don't really give a shit, to be honest. Guys come after me. People come after me to make their name. It's not the other way around.
That's a great way to lead your charge there, Jay White. And you've got Chris Sabin in the US of J Open Challenge as New Japan Strong rolls through Tampa, St. Petersburg to be exact, the Coliseum. That is Sunday, March 20th, start time of 5 p.m. Tickets available now. You're working in Impact, you're working in New Japan, you're working in AEW. You're all over the place, man. And you truly are one of the top talents in the world. I love watching your matches, and I'm really excited to see what 2022 is going to bring your way. Anything else you'd like to add here as you take on this busy weekend?
No, I think you got it covered. Like I said, I'll be in Philadelphia for Impact, and then, yeah, capping it off St. Pete for New Japan Strong against Chris Sabin on Sunday. And then after that, who knows?
Well, I really appreciate your time here on One-on-One with John Alba on adfreeshows.com. Of course, guys, don't forget, you subscribe, you get early access to this alongside tons and tons of hours of bonus content here on AFS. So we appreciate you tuning in. Jay, thank you again for your time, and I hope you have a great weekend.
All right, thank you.